All right, I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 21 tonight. 1 Samuel 21. We've been going through this book on Sunday nights, and it's been a few weeks since we have been in 1 Samuel. So the title of this book, obviously, is 1 Samuel, and the book is about him in large part. But we actually have three main characters in this book, and those three main characters form the outline of the book of 1 Samuel. You have the first main character of the book is Samuel, and in chapters 1 through 7, the focus is on him, on his birth and his career as a prophet. And then the second main character we see in 1 Samuel is the character of Saul. And in chapters 8 through 15, we have the focus on that first king of Israel. Of course, Samuel was the one who anointed the first two kings of Israel. And so maybe that's another reason why the book is called Samuel. But we have the focus on Saul in chapters 8 through 15. And then the third main character of the book is David in chapter 16 through 31. And that's the section that we find ourselves in tonight. The focus is on David. Saul has been rejected as king, and the transfer of the kingship is going on. But that took a period of time. It was not just overnight where David became king. He was anointed as king, and Saul was rejected because of his disobedience. And we see David here being on the run. Last time in 1 Samuel 20, we saw how David and his friend Jonathan discovered the danger that David was in. David, if you remember, felt that he was in danger. Jonathan questioned that. He wasn't so sure. And so they came up with a test to determine what was Saul's attitude towards David. And that involved David not being present in the time when he was usually there. And that kind of provoked Saul by intention to see what his attitude was towards David. And of course, that became clear that David really was in danger. In the midst of that, we saw Jonathan make a covenant with David, which really was a decision of faith. It was a decision that looked beyond the immediate circumstances. You know, David is in danger. Here's Jonathan making a covenant with him. You'd think it would be the other way around. But Jonathan sees that David is God's man, and he is in faith entering into this covenant with David. And so David now is on the run. The test confirmed that David was not safe around Saul any longer. And that begins a major period in David's life where David is constantly on the run from Saul. And David is in the wilderness. David has his wilderness experience. He is running constantly from place to place to avoid the danger from Saul. And yet he is God's anointed king. And there's this period of time, possibly 10 years or so, where David is constantly on the run. Can you imagine what it must have been like for David to be that way? To suddenly, almost overnight, have no stability in his life. What if tomorrow morning you woke up and you didn't have a place that you could call home? It was unsafe for you to go home. It's unsafe for you to go to your job. And you have to find another place overnight. You can imagine the instability that you would feel in that, not having a foundation. That's David's situation. Where can you turn for help? What if you meet somebody that's like that in their lives? How can you help them? Well, we see in chapter 21 here two places that David runs to. The first place is to God's people, and the second place that David runs to is God's enemies. And so let's read this chapter. It's just 15 verses. 1 Samuel 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. The priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. David said, There is none like that, give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So we see here the two places where David runs to. First, he runs to Ahimelech, the priest, in Nob. We see David seeking help from God's people here, first of all. He comes to Nob. This is a town in Benjamin, where the tabernacle evidently is located there at this time. And the priest there is Ahimelech, and he is afraid to see David here. I asked why David is alone. David gives him an answer here that seems not entirely honest, but he's in danger and he's afraid. And we see David's request here for help, verses 3 through 7, he requests bread. He needs some basic necessities. He needs some bread. And he says, What do you have on hand? What's present here? Ahimelech has no common bread, only the hallowed bread. Remember one of the items of furniture in the tabernacle was the table where there was the showbread that was placed on that table, 12 loaves. And the law determined that this was to be changed every week. Put out fresh bread on the Sabbath day, and that bread that had been there on the table was allowed to be eaten by the priests and the priest family. They took that show bread. And so they discussed this show bread, and the priest gives some requirements for that. And he gives that bread to David to help him. We're told here in verse 7 that there's a servant of Saul that's there, Doeg the Edomite. We find out more about him in chapter 22. And then we see David requests a weapon, verses 8 and 9. Evidently, he has no weapon on him. And the priest offers David the sword of Goliath. Remember, David had used that before. He cut off the giant's head, Goliath's head, with that sword of Goliath. And evidently, David didn't keep that sword. He must have surrendered it, maybe given it back to God. And it's there in the tabernacle. So Ahimelech gives David this sword to help him on his way. So we see David, he's on the run, and he goes here to the tabernacle. He's going to get help from God's people here. And we see here that if we were to find ourselves in an unstable situation suddenly, we do see here a good example of the decision perhaps that we would make, hopefully, to seek help from the people of God, to go to God's people. And, you know, we might be embarrassed to go to God's people, to tell them of our need, might be ashamed to say, I have this need and I need this help. But we should, I think, expect that there would be help from God's people. You know, I think about the early church in the book of Acts. And one of the things that we see the early church doing is coming together with their resources and seeking to help those that were in need in that early church. Remember, there was an issue with people that were very poor in the church at Jerusalem. And the church was there trying to come together and meet those needs that they had. And they had to develop a way to do that in an orderly fashion, of course. But there was that effort to try to help those that were in need. You know, I think about some of the areas that we've seen believers in great need. You know, the countries that are at war. Think about the people in Ukraine and the believers, the church that is there, and the effort that we've heard about that Christians are involved in to try to help those people that are in need, especially those believers that would be in need. And, you know, so there's that we should maybe there would be times when we ourselves would need that. There would be some situation where we would have to come and say, I need help. And what can the church do to help these people? There's other types of needs that believers have. You know, there's times when we as believers need to call on the on other believers, on the elders of the church sometimes for spiritual help. When we would call upon the church to pray for us. When there's a spiritual need in somebody's family or somebody has this physical need even, at the very least, we can call upon one another to ask for prayer, to ask for some spiritual guidance and help. And certainly the elders of the church are there for that purpose, to provide spiritual help and guidance when people are in need, and they can be called upon for that. Probably aware of the fact that this occasion in David's life was used by the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching when he was on this earth. I want to ask you to turn to one of those passages here in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 12, where we see Jesus referring to this event in the life of David. Of course, in this occasion, Matthew 12, verse 1, I'm in Mark, the Pharisees are criticizing the disciples because they harvested some grain on the Sabbath day. And Jesus responds to this criticism here, Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 1 says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if he had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. that the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Here we see Jesus defending his disciples here, and he makes reference to this, David eating the showbread there, which was usually not permitted for David to do, but there was this time when it was allowed, and Christ refers to that. What we see Jesus doing here is trying to teach the importance of priorities to the Pharisees of his day. You need to see that somebody may have an urgent need, and there may be times where we need to recognize the priority of helping with that need. There may be a personal need that somebody has, and it would require us to make their need more important than some act of obedience in our own lives. There would be a need for us to show mercy on them rather than to go through our usual routines and the way we have things worked out. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, Jesus says. It may even be that somebody else's need would be more important than, you know, our regular routine of having our devotions. We have our prayer and devotional time. That has to be there, and yet there's a need. Maybe it's in our family. Maybe it's somebody around us. And so we see that there is that need, and the Lord wants us to see the importance of having mercy and helping that other person rather than going about our regular routines that we have. But it's a passage here that shows us in the life of David, you know, sometimes we need to seek help from other believers. But here Jesus, as he's taking this passage, I think he's showing us that we need to help other people. Sometimes we need to seek that help, but we need to be people that are willing to give that help to others. We need to show that mercy upon others. That may mean giving something that usually has another purpose, even a obedient purpose to God. It may mean sharing resources that have been set aside in our minds for one thing, but yet there's this other need that comes up to help somebody with that. Then we see God helping David here with Goliath's sword, and he gives him a weapon and allows him to use that as well. So we see David seeking help from God's people, and then we see David fleeing to another area here. He flees to the Philistines, verses 10 through 15. David arose, verse 10, and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Remember, Gath is the town where Goliath was from. This is a Philistine city. And David now, for fear of Saul, he thinks Saul's going to get him, he goes to the enemy. Say, why would he go to the enemy? Well, maybe he thought that he would go work for them. Maybe it's a place where Saul might not think to look for him. You know, why would Saul think to look for David in the camp of the Philistines? Maybe he's thinking that his presence around his friends is going to put them in danger. And in a way, that was true. And so he decides to go to the Philistines, and we're told what he hears while he's in this Philistine city of Gath. He hears what the servants of Achish, the king, report about David. Verse 11, the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Somehow they had heard that David had been anointed king. They even heard about the song that the ladies were singing about Saul and David. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands? David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he's fled to the Philistine city. Now he hears what they know about him, and he's even more afraid of Achish now. He's already afraid of Saul. And then we see how David escapes. Very interesting way that he escapes here. But verse 13 says he changed his behavior before them. and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, let his spittle fall down upon his beard. So he's pretending to be a crazy man. And they're seeing everything that David is doing now, and the king of Achish is seeing this, and he says, "Lo, see ye, the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence?" So the king sees this, and he says, "I don't need another crazy man, another madman. Got enough of those. Why do I need another person here?" And so through that situation, David is able to escape here. Here we see that David was in a situation, and he is time and time again, he's in a circumstance that made him very afraid. David runs from one fear only to face even more fears. What could David have done differently? Well, we see here that God had ordained David's circumstances at this time. This was a time of wilderness wandering that God had chosen for David. God had ordained for him to be in these situations. And it would have been better for David to accept that and to realize that God was in control. And he does realize that. And to know that in his will, he is safe. We should also see here the need to be careful of running for safety to the enemy. David is frantic. He's scared. He runs to the Philistines, the enemy. But we see he only gets himself into more trouble. And sometimes we can do that same thing. We become scared. We become fearful. And we can run for help, not to God, but even to God's enemies. Places and people that we think are going to give us safety. Maybe they seem a lot more helpful. You look over there and there's resources and there's influence there. And it seems that that's what we need. But in reality, it could be that these are the enemies of God. They hate God. They hate His truth. And we may soon live to regret that. We have in our Bibles two Psalms that David wrote in this experience. I'd like to ask you to turn there to, first of all, Psalm 56. Told this is a psalm that David composed during this time. Psalm 56. Notice the title there says it's a mikkim of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. Notice what he says, verse 1. "Be merciful unto God, unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Notice in verse 10 also, "In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." So here's David. He's in this time of trouble. And what this psalm shows us that even when we face times of trouble like that, we can go to God for help. That's what David was doing here. He's praying for God's help. He feels like he's going to be swallowed up by his enemies. But he commits to trust in God, even though he's fearful. And then we see a second psalm that was composed in this situation, Psalm 34. Turn, if you would, please, to Psalm 34. Notice the title of this psalm says, "The Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed." Notice what it says in verse 1, Psalm 34. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Here we see that when we are in a situation like David and the Lord helps us, what should we do? We should praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord for his help and what he has done. That's what David's doing in Psalm 34. He praises God for delivering him from his fears. David was afraid. He was afraid. He ran from Saul. He comes to the Philistine city of Gath. He's afraid in that Philistine city now. What are they going to do to him now? But in the midst of that, David probably thought, you know, why did I do this? Why did I make the decision to go here? But even when we've gotten ourselves into trouble, we can go to God for help. And when God has helped us, we should praise him for what he has done. It may be that there's somebody who feels himself in a situation like David's in, very unstable. We may be in a situation like that at some point. We need to be careful where we turn when we are like that. Be careful where we turn. We should turn to God's people. David was on the right track, I think, as he went to the tabernacle. He tried to seek help from the priest there. We don't need to go to God's enemies. And David reminds us that we can come to God when we have nowhere else to turn. As he says in Psalm 56, verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of David. And we see here that you put him through this time of wandering and running in the wilderness. We know you had your purposes for that. And we know that sometimes you put us through those same types of situations. We pray, Lord, you'd help us to turn to you for help, to turn to your people that we ought to turn to. We thank you that we need not be afraid. We can put our trust in you. Help us to not fear, but to trust, that we might praise your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close here and turn to number 392. Number 392, O Jesus, I have promised. 392, let's all stand as we sing.